The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. Tractor Supply trusts 5G solutions from T-Mobile. Together, we're connecting over 2,200 stores with 5G business internet, empowering AI so team members can match shoppers with the products they need faster. This is enriching customer experience. This is Tractor Supply with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Hi, the Cashflow Portal community. This is Jake and Gino. Today, I'm very excited to bring Jake and Gino onto the show. They are going to talk about how to build a long-term syndication business. Now, I got to know Jake and Gino because I am actually part of their ecosystem. I know they are really, really good. And I really like the way they think about multifamily, which is think long-term and not any short-term benefits. And today they are going to talk about some of the values and some of the ways you can build a sustainable long-term syndication business. Take it away, Jake and Gino.
Ed Perry, thank you so much. And I think this is more prevalent than ever, what you're seeing in the current environment with interest rates spiking and people that may have been getting caught using bridge debt. This is so appropriate right now more than ever because we always challenge everyone in our community to think in decades. That doesn't mean you're always going to hold an asset forever. That doesn't mean that you're never going to sell something. But when you think in decades, it aligns so nicely with the long-term permanent rate debt that we put on our multifamily assets that the synergies are undeniable. So we're going to hit that today. Gino, you're looking good over there, my friend. How you doing?
Jake, I'm doing good. And to piggyback off what you said, it's really important. Everybody on this call, we're all striving to become entrepreneurs. At Jake and Gino, we create multifamily entrepreneurs. If you're getting into the syndication business, it's all about creating systems. It's all about building a business. And what's exciting about syndication is there's so many different facets of it. Do you want to be the asset manager? Do you want to be boots on the ground? Do you want to raise capital? Do you want to be the contracting element of it? There's so many different facets of it. But what we're going to be going through in this presentation really is core values, mission statements, our cadence of accountabilities, all these things that you need when you start scaling up. When Jake and Gino bought our first deal, this was way off of our radar. We want to put this on your radar right now because we want you to be thinking in decades, not just buying your first or second deal, but let's start planting the seed because it's really exciting. This is why we're getting into multifamily so we can scale and we can live all the lives that we want. So when you get to the 300 and 400 unit and 1,000 unit plus, all of a sudden you have these systems that you're thinking about as you're growing. It'll make scaling so much easier.
Yeah, it's a great point, Gino. You want to touch a little bit on the values and our fundamental beliefs that essentially govern our day-to-day.
This is one of the most important things I think Jake and I took away from one of our partners that we met a few years ago. We never really thought about it. It was only an intuitive or subconscious thing. But I think everyone, when they think about their values, what are your values? Always start with the end in mind. What do you want your business to look like? For everybody, that's a very personal question. For myself and Jake, we're at the point right now where we're looking to 300 to 400 to 500 units per year. That's what we can do. We're vertically integrated. We love having that size because we can control it. Our big metric is profit per unit. That's what we're looking for. So we're not looking to scale thousands of units. So find out what your values are. And what you do is you start with the end in mind. Is your business or what does your life look like 20 or 30 years down the road? Let's reverse engineer that and let's figure out what the values are. And Jake and I, with the 100 year, we're always thinking about long-termism. And I think anybody out there who has become successful in any endeavor, what they're looking to do is really looking for the long-term. Like Jake said, looking out in decades. So start planning your life as far as reverse engineering those values. And there's one other thing I like to say, Jake, and what I've learned over the years, we really overestimate what we're able to do in 1 year. And we really underestimate what we're able to do in 10 years and even 5 years. Because for Jake and myself, it took us 18 months to buy that first deal. 18 long, dreadful months. But the next deal came 3 months later. And within 5 years, we had 1,500 units. So if you think about that, 18 months to get that first deal, that first year chugging along, we only had about 55 or 60 units. But within 5 years, we had a portfolio of 1,500 units. And I think what we had is we really locked in our values and we created our partnership through what our alignment to values was. We really call it values-based decision-making. So just take a minute on the next slide before we go to it. On the next slide, we're going to show you some values that what you can really think of. But for us, for myself and Jake, it really comes down to integrity. It comes down to values being hard work, being responsible. That's what a 100-year in real estate investor is being responsible and really being locked in and having that integrity and having that open communication amongst partners. That's what works for us. As we're talking, I want you guys to dive in to think about for yourselves, what are the values that are going to govern and dictate the rest of your life?
Yeah, and the values-based decision-making is vitally important for three areas: partners, vendors, and team members. And we treat them all the same. I've hired hundreds of employees, had hundreds of vendors, just a few partners. The key is that you treat them all the same with the same core values. Because the thing I can promise you is that when you look the other way when it comes to values and partnerships and team members and vendors, if they're not aligned with your values, that will rear its ugly head again, because it's probably going to do it once and then you're going to kick the can on it and it'll do it again. So when the relationships are not aligned by values, I always recommend people to exit those relationships because they usually end up bad and they'll consistently rear their ugly head. So I very much challenge everybody, exit the relationships that are not serving you from a values perspective. That's key. Gina was talking about growth from a scale perspective. You don't want to get out over your skis, right? You want to just grow to the point that you're hurting your business. Very simply, you look at 20% top line revenue growth year over year. That's a very good gauge. It's a very good way to measure your growth without getting overextended, because it's great to grow, but it's also great to grow in a controlled manner where you're not stressing your team out to the point where things are going wrong. You're having customer defects, et cetera. So I think that's also a very important point.
Jay, can I mention one more avatar you forgot? Investors. You as a syndication company,
partners,
and a syndicator, right? Yeah, you're raising capital from investors. We had an investor a couple of years back, got his K-1, blew up at us, says he's going to sue us, blah, blah. And then 3 minutes later, he realizes it was his mistake. And his next sentence was, hey, when you guys get another deal, let me know. Is that person aligned with us? Is that a value fit for us? Not really. So you really have to choose your investors as well. And I know this is very hard when we're starting out, mm-hmm. but if your values do not align with your investors and you're looking to hold these deals a little bit longer and your investors are looking to get money back a lot quicker, that may be a value disalignment and you may have problems with those investors. So make sure that you let your investors know what your values are and what your business plan is and let them choose if it works for you, because that's truly, truly important. You don't want to have problems with investors as well, Jake.
No doubt.
And here we have all, you know, all
the. I think your daughter took care of this one for you here. Right? I see the finger paint, right? What's going on?
You like that? Big shout out to Mackenzie. She put this whole thing together. Jake and Gina are not good with PowerPoints. I'm telling you that right now. It takes me a week to put this PowerPoint together, but take a look at it. I mean, for me, one of the values that I wanted to have when I created Jake and Gina was that friendship, was the generosity, the go-giver mentality. So go out there and look at what your values are, what you want your syndication company to aspire to. There are some out there that want to work with, you know, veterans, disabled. They want to work with people who are affordable housing. If that fits your business model and you can work with that, select that. Something that's going to really make you really become passionate about what that model looks like for you. For us, one of the biggest values, responsibility piece. I want to be responsible for every decision that I make. It was back in 2008 that I read the book Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. And it was the Great Recession back then. And I was blaming everybody else. And that was a seminal moment in my life, that value that I understood T. Harv Eker is talking about. The fruits are in the roots. It's all about me. It's all about becoming responsible. And that was the day that I said to myself, I need to go out. I need to find a mentor. I need to get educated on multifamily real estate. That led me to Jake. And then Jake led me to Knoxville. And then Knoxville was our first deal. And the rest is history. But if I had not taken that value of responsibility, I wouldn't be here right now talking with you and Jake.
That's an excellent point.
So the core values, this may seem like we're getting a little ahead of our skis and somebody may be saying to themselves, well, I don't have any deals yet. What do I need this stuff for? Well, little history, everybody. I was in the restaurant business. I bought my first and only restaurant back in 1994, long time. I'm making payroll longer than a lot of people are alive, almost 30 years. And that first restaurant was amazing. I loved it for the first 10 or 15 years. I couldn't grow, I couldn't scale. And I could never put my finger on the reason why. I'd get some good employees and they'd shake out. I would hire, but it was never my fault. It was their fault. I never had core values. And then what ended up happening, Jake and I, we started scaling the real estate business. And then all of a sudden you need to start hiring property managers, maintenance techs, need to start hiring more vendors. And we didn't have core values. We went on and went on with a company, whether it was Traction. We started working with a company called Scaling Up. And we realized we really need these core values. They are our North Star. You hire, you fire, you work upon them. And they're not bullet points. These are not a marketing, you know, machine over here where you're looking at it and going, oh, okay, these are really great. These are things that we truly live by, whether it's our Jake and Gino education company, whether it's the 100-year company, whether it's our RAND property management company. These are all core values that we figure for ourselves personally. Every time we're hiring somebody, we want them to fit the culture. And as you can see, the first one up there, people first. People first to us is so important because for our education company, I mean, Perry's been to a couple of our live events. It's all about the culture. It's all about beliefs. If you believe in something, your behaviors are belief driven. We're teaching our students to get into multifamily. It's all about people first and serving them. Our residents in our apartment homes, it's all about them. Our investors, as a syndication, as a syndicator, you need to be a steward, a financial steward to your investors. So that investor is people first. And the second one for us, I think as an entrepreneur, as somebody trying to grow a syndication company, you need to have growth mindset. You need to be willing to get on these webinars. You need to be willing to continue to learn. You know, there's the fixed mindset and the growth mindset. You need to adopt that growth mindset and continue to grow. Obviously, the other ones, you know, unwavering ethics, extreme ownership, make it happen. Those are ones that are really, really, I guess, relevant to us. And every time we hire, every time we get on and do an interview, every time we talk to a vendor, we show them these core values. We say, this is what we abide by. What do you think about them? And we try to pick out and see who fits those core values.
It's interesting too, because you have the make it happen right across from the unwavering ethics. And there's a, you know, unfortunately, we run a business, 60 some employees, and you know, you have issues at times. And I have a make it happen team member right now that I'm questioning the unwavering ethics and the trust. And I'll take trust and unwavering ethics over make it happen. Even though I'm a make it happen guy and I love it, there's a situation we're dealing with right now where the ethics and the trust is at question. And, you know, most likely there's going to be an exit from that team member, but it comes down to the values. And that, and again, you know, earlier we were talking about it, partners, vendors, team members, you know, if you want to call partners, investors, whatever the case may be, you need to make sure the values are aligned. Otherwise, why are you doing it? Life is very short and you need to be working and engaging with people that share your values because it's hard enough. And I think you want to be able to enjoy your business life as well. And it's going to be very challenging when there's a values disalignment.
I have a lot of admiration for Jake. I don't know if I ever told him this story, but the core values really resonated with me one day. It was probably 4 or 5 years ago. We had just started scaling up and he had hired an assistant manager. And the assistant manager comes in and she's doing her job and she didn't abide by the make it happen. Jake is like, you know, we need to mop the floors. And I remember her saying, it's not my job. And I remember the next day, Jake gives her the pink slip. It's one of those decisions that it is challenging and it's very difficult. But if you're going to have a company and the culture and it's make it happen, and Jake is there mopping floors and he's out there with a chainsaw in the parking lot when there's a windstorm or a rainstorm and we're doing it, but our employees acknowledge and say, no, that's not my job. Well, there's not an alignment there. And you all know what I'm talking about. You have that feeling in your gut where something is, it's not really fitting right. That's why you're not living in alignment with your values. That's why it's so important to understand what they are. And I challenge everybody out there right now. It's a daunting task. It'll take you a couple months, but start thinking about them. Start putting them down on paper, what you want to live by, what you want your company to look like. Because that's the great thing about being an entrepreneur. You can build this. You can make your company look like whatever you want it to look like. But sometimes we don't think we have the power to do that, but you do. It's just, we've never been taught this in school. It took me over 20 years to be in the restaurant business to finally figure out, wow, if I had these core values, I'd probably have 15 or 20 restaurants. I wouldn't have Jake and Gino, but I'd have a lot of restaurants and I have other stuff. So this translates over into so many different types of businesses that it's so crucial and so fundamental to start executing on this stuff.
Think of responsiveness, just the people that you're working with right now. You know, if I'm emailing Perry and we're working on a project and he's not getting back to me, that's not going to work for me. So we're not moving forward. You need to work with people that are aligned with you. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. And I'm telling you, it will just continue. So if it's not there, move on.
And this slide right here is just really values-based decision-making. All of your decisions are based on your values. One quick other story about the restaurant. for the last few years, I struggled there because I was living in disalignment with my values. I wanted to be at home with my kids on the weekend. I wanted to live a life of abundance. I didn't want to work during the holidays. And I was doing all of these things. And it was really not based on what values that I truly held. When you're younger, you can get away with it. But as you get older and you start saying to yourself, man, I don't have much time left here. My kids are going to grow up so quick. That's when I finally realized I need to start doing something else. That's why I was transitioning out of the restaurant, trying to get into more of a physical products-based business with the restaurant, writing a cookbook. That felt really good, but I just didn't have that figured out. And I'm like, I still got to work on the weekends. I don't want to do that. So from now on, I want you all to think, are you making your decisions, whether it's partnering up with somebody, whether it's even taking down a deal? If you're underwriting a deal and you're saying to yourself, I don't really have a lot of faith in this deal, but I'm doing this for the fees. Listen, that's going to end real bad, real soon. I want you all to be in this business for the long term. And it comes back for us, the unwavering ethics. We're not going to put a deal in the contract just for fees and just for the short term. It's got to work for both sides. So from now on, values-based decision-making.
This is great too, because ultimately when you're scaling a business or, any type of business venture, you need to have systems and a cadence in place. And I think the thing that so many people, miss is that whether it's an investment, into a single asset, you're buying a 20 unit, or you're beginning to start a syndication company, it's a business. Buying an apartment building is a business. So many people get into it and think it's simply just an investment. That was one of our major mistakes when we started out in multifamily real estate. And so what we have to do? We had to go out and hire coaches. We had to get systems training. Okay. We went through scaling up. We went through EOS. We had another gentleman we were working with the other day. This stuff is not, and if it is, it wasn't taught in my school. I didn't see this stuff very much in college when it comes to systems, okay, and a cadence of accountability. And it's very hard to find in just the general business climate. We're taught to be W-2 workers. We're not taught cadence of accountability. We're not taught meeting rhythms. We're not taught how to really properly manage folks in leadership. So we've created a cadence of accountability. It all starts with our quarterly meetings. We have a goal. We're looking to grow 20% year-over-year revenue by 20%. We're looking to, take our customer service to the next level. These are all things that are true and that we're working on. So you need a cadence. So we have a quarterly meeting. The executive team meets. We reverse engineer those priorities down into smaller, more manageable priorities. Priority is anything that takes over 8 hours. Those will be assigned to different team members within our executive teams. That's where it all starts. And then it cascades down from there. How do we hold people accountable every week from that quarterly? We have a weekly level 10 meeting, an L10. We took that from EOS. I personally meet with property managers on a weekly basis. If you have a syndication company and you are using third-party management and you're not meeting on a regular weekly huddle and you're the asset manager with your team, I think you're doing something wrong. You need to be hands-on. It is management. It is business 101. Look, the property management company, they care about income versus expenses. But do they care as much as you, the owner, the syndicator, the person that's putting this together? Probably not. You need to take extreme ownership over that because they're going to just do what they want if you do not lead, if you do not set parameters in place for them to follow. Look, it's easier to scale with third party, but they still need to be given the direction of the vision. Otherwise, they're going to do what they want.
Jake, if I can touch on the quarterly meetings real quick. I know most of you out there may be saying, hey, I'm only one person or two people.
Doesn't matter, Gino.
Take a day out every quarter, because this is something we didn't do, because Jake and Gino are known to shotgun and machine gun their employees. We have so many ideas. Well, how many things can you do in a quarter? What's the one thing in that quarter that'll move the needle? Is it getting a website done? That's probably something that takes longer than 8 hours, right? Is it really working on a presentation? Is it getting a meetup going? Whatever that may be. Is it starting a YouTube channel? Is it writing a book? Whatever that looks like, you really have to work on it and get your quarterly meetings and get your quarterly plan done. And that's what you're working for the next quarter. Jake had talked about the level 10, those weekly meetings. Those are truly important and you schedule them every week. And when Jake's talking about talking to the property management company, we have what we call a weekly pulse that we send out every week. This document has income, expenses, it has delinquencies, vacant unrented, lease terminations, whatever that is. That call should not take that long. It should take 15 to 20 minutes.
Well, that's the report that goes out, right? I think that's a report that we send out, but we do review it on one of the L10 meetings.
Yes.
So just to be fair.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So, but that should not take that long because it's already done. What you're trying to do with these weekly meetings is to be proactive and to really brainstorm. If there's nothing going on, it should take 10 or 15 minutes every week. If you think about it, at the end of the month, if you have 15 minutes a week, it's an hour every month to be able to speak with that property management company. What I like about it, we also have weekly meetings with our executive team. Every Monday, we call it the weekly huddle. We get on every week. We talk about our Rockefeller habits. We have the 10 Rockefeller habits, which one we're working on. We're also talking about our wins from last week. We're talking about our daily targets. And we have a lot of KPIs, key performance indicators, that we set up in each business. You know, for syndication company, maybe how many investors have we spoken to? How many deals have we underwritten? How many property management companies have we looked at? How many syndication attorneys have we spoken to? Whatever those key performance indicators are for your business, they're reviewed weekly. And for us, we take it a step further. We have a daily huddle every morning with every part of our team. We have it with, I have with the Jake and Gino team at 8:45. There's nine of us on now in the morning discussing what we did the day before, talking about what's going on that day, and then any stucks or challenges. That has been a game changer for us because we don't have to waste time throughout the day texting and emailing. We all get on at the same time. We all hear what the team, what the company's doing, what we need to do that day to keep the company moving forward. And it's all about communication. Now, I want you all to take a snapshot of this and start ripping off and duplicating this, because this has been one of the keys to success for us, going from 650 units that Jake and I own personally to over 1,500. This has been one huge game changer for us.
Yeah, and it's amazing to see the other things that sometimes people miss. Gino and I were recently speaking to some younger investors, and I just said, you know, by show of hands, who manages a monthly draw report for your business? And it was like crickets in the room. And gang, you need to manage the cash, not just the accrual, okay? How do you pay yourself every month? Do you have a baseline in place? We usually go, you know, all in mortgage, which includes escrow and reserves and everything, plus 30% minimum amount we will keep in the checking account in addition to our CapEx funds, in addition to the reserves from, you know, the Fannie Freddie. So very, you know, we try to be very well capitalized, but ultimately, so we're saying, you know, how do you manage it? You know, you need systems for this stuff, gang. You need to say what the bank statement ended the month, what cash came out, does that line up? You know, what was the draw from the prior month? And then what, you know, can we draw over our baseline for this month? So having a draw report, very important. And then everybody that reports to me, whether it's the executive team or all, you know, in addition to that, all of our property managers at our eight districts all send me an end of day report. It's not super long, but it's bulleted, highlights from the day, what's going on with leasing, how many units are vacant, where are we at with delinquency. You know, it might sound like a lot, but you need to know the pulse of your business and be in tune with it. And I think if you're going to run a successful business, this is, to me, the bare minimum.
And Jake, what I'd like to say before we really go on, it doesn't have to happen all at once. I think you can start adding these on a little bit at a time. At least start with the quarterly and then possibly with the weekly. And then depending on the size of the team, maybe go to the dailies. I love the dailies because in the morning, I really get a pulse of what the team is going through. But we didn't start doing this early on. Just remember one thing, you know, the idea of hitting a goal, it's not really the goal that you're trying to hit. It's the person you need to become in order to hit that goal. Because once you get your first or second deal, you're on to your next deal or your next goal. And then you have to become the next iteration of that person. So that's what we're talking about here, the evolution of creating a business and scaling that business. This is not all going to happen at once. You're going to go through some growth spurts. You're going to really plateau and then really going to rise again. And that's what we're talking about. Adding these little things on as you start to grow, it's going to be really, really important for you. Now we got the business plan here, Jake. I just want to touch on this real quick. You know, what you need is a syndicator. I think we all really need to create a one pager. A one pager is just really simple. Jake, Gino, what do we do? What our strategy is. Hey, we're the buy right, manage right, finance right kings. That's exactly what we do. You look at the type of deals we have. We have basically what our business plan looks like. Then at Jake and Gino, we teach the students to create really a credibility book. I mean, a credibility book is truly important. It's more of a business plan, maybe a 12 to 15 page booklet where you talk about your business plan, the markets you're investing in, and then maybe you talk about some of the deals that you have. And if you don't have deals, put a couple of case studies of what those deals will look like. Third is the website. I mean, a website is pretty much a no-brainer nowadays. You really need a website. You really need to start, whether you're writing articles, creating content, pushing people to that website, because you want them to finally, with the investor portal, and you know, Perry's on here, but with Cashflow Portal, you need a portal site to start scaling a syndication company. You may not need one with the first deal, but after that, it's a no-brainer. You want to be able to look professional. You want to be able to collect those funds. You want to be able to have customer journey, the customer experience, and that investor portal will allow you to be able to do that.
Yeah, no doubt. Per, you want to touch on the investor portal a little bit while we're here?
Absolutely. So yeah, Cashflow Portal is an investor portal that helps you streamline your operations. We take care of things such as document signing, all your PPN subscriptions. We take care of a monthly investor update, ACH distributions, managing your cap table, and also just where people are in that whole journey, whether the funds have been received, the wire have been sent out, or the ACH distribution is underway. It's very fun when the investors get that check in the bank, and they sometimes will even take a screenshot of Cashflow Portal and post on Facebook, say, I just got my 3-month distribution.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And that's why we love these types of systems and different solutions, because they help scale. They're micro businesses in a box, and they give direction, especially when you're early on in your career and you're growing and scaling your business. So, excellent point there.
And this is what we wanted to discuss on the call, finally really wrapping this call up. At the 100 year, we discuss what the dual asset strategy is. We love this model because we're trying to use $1 two different ways. We're talking about leveraging whole life insurance. I've got policies on my children. I've got policies on myself and my wife. And what I love about the strategy is, for me, I found that every single wealthy person that I've spoken to, they all have whole life as part of their financial plan. Really, we call it personal financial engineering. And it's personal to everybody. Some people love it for the estate tax planning. Some people love it for the income when they're in retirement. Some people just love it for the protection. I mean, it does have protection against bankruptcy, and in certain states, it has protection against creditors. It's an amazing strategy. Basically, what you're doing, you're working with a specially designed whole life policy from a mutual life insurance company. That's the only of the companies we use. You go in there, and really at a high level, you're buying a policy, putting cash into the policy. When you have the policy funded with cash, you're borrowing from the policy, that cash value. You're taking the loan out and you're putting the money into a multifamily. A lot of fix and flippers are doing this. People are even leveraging their policies to put into crypto, into the stock market. Jake and I don't like crypto. We don't like stocks either, but we're all in on the multifamily. But it's an amazing strategy. If you think about it, all of a sudden you've created two assets. You had the whole life insurance as one asset. You're borrowing that money out, and that money is working uninterrupted, that compound. You're taking a loan from the whole life insurance company. So that money's still earning money in there. You have a loan on that money. When you buy the multifamily, when that multifamily starts cash flowing, you pay that loan back on the whole life policy. You make that whole life policy whole again, the cash value. All of a sudden, you've got two assets. It's an amazing strategy. What I'm using it for really is for my estate tax planning. That's what I'm doing for my children. I've got 6 kids. So we're setting up trusts and all, and I'm able to use the money day one. So for those of you out there that are putting money into a 401k, I was doing that years and years ago. I pulled the e-brake on that. And on our 5th deal, I had that money in a 401k. I had to blow it up. If I had the money in a whole life policy, I would have been able to borrow that money out. I'd still have that whole life policy, but I didn't have one. I had it in a 401k. So I challenge you all out there, if you're using a 401k, look into whole life and see if that will fit your financial plan. For me, it did. And for those of you that want to grow and want to protect yourselves long-term and to be able to create two assets from $1, I mean, this is an amazing strategy for you.
Yeah, and that's why we call it personal financial engineering. It gives your family protection, and then it gives you growth while you're waiting for your next deal. So it checks a lot of boxes for us. And we like to maximize every dollar, you know, whether it's, you know, using rewards credit cards or using the dual asset strategy to hold our cash, grow our cash before we're ready to invest it into our next deal. So love the dual asset strategy.
That's a great point, Jake. I mean, a lot of us out there, we're getting refis, we're getting a lot of cash. Mm-hmm. I want to put the money in the bank at 0.5% or 0.8%. I'd rather put it into a policy, have that policy, use it as a cash management tool. When I need the money, I can just borrow it out. And over here, you see the QR code. If you want to, you know, continue the conversation with one of our team members, go to dualassetstrategy.com, schedule a call, or just hit the QR code there, and we can discuss further the, you know, dual asset strategy and how it works so well with a syndication company or anyone in the real estate business.
Yeah, pairs very nicely, to say the least. So, Perry, Gino, thank you so much for your time today. Really enjoyed this, and we will see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. Tractor Supply trusts 5G solutions from T-Mobile. Together, we're connecting over 2,200 stores with 5G business internet, empowering AI so team members can match shoppers with the products they need faster. This is enriching customer experience. This is Tractor Supply with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.